Good afternoon. Welcome back to Passionate Internet Voices Talk Radio, Inc., a league of nations among other internet radio stations, voices of the people, united we roar. Today is June 22nd, 2007. PIBTR, whether providing you with the advice of experts or giving a voice to the average person who would not otherwise be heard, PIBTR emphasizes quality and enriching programs for our listeners' enjoyment. And now from 2:30 to 3, let me present to you Dr. Barbara Becker-Holstein in Happiness for Women Only. Good afternoon, Barbara.
Good afternoon, Lillian. It's great to be back on Happiness for Women Only. And are you staying on the line or am I solo?
You will have my company as much as you need it.
Okay. Well, I thought today we would take a look at women between 35 and 50. We're looking at each stage of development to see what goes right and what goes wrong, and all in terms of enhancing women's happiness so that we're happier at more stages of our lives, more days, more hours. And I think that between 35 and 50, there is a kind of slow awakening of wisdom that happens for many, many women. It's combined with seeing beyond one's immediate place in the world and also seeing beyond one's immediate goals and all the pressures, perhaps, of one's particular life. It's almost as if for many women in their early 40s, a bell goes off like, ding, ding, I'm here and it's time. Time for what can sometimes be the question, but it's time. And Lillian and I were talking before the show that sometimes this reckoning and this awakening around wisdom is really stirred by listening not only to wisdom in the world, mentors, friends, TV shows that impress us, books, whatever, but also beginning to listen more carefully to oneself and not just oneself now as a grown-up, but regarding oneself in a unique way over a lifetime filled with memories and ambitions and drives. And Lillian, you got in touch with your child at some point. Was this between 35 and 50, if I could be as bold to ask?
Yeah, it happened in my 40s. Life suddenly, well, you're so involved in your husband and your children or in your job and your parents that somewhere along the line, you do have a tendency to lose yourself in your activities, which brings a sort of contentment, but it's not a happiness within you, not a joyful, you're not looking forward to the next joyful day. Everything has just kind of run down on your clock.
Oh, that's so well put. I felt the same way in my 40s. You know, big professional life, children who were doing pretty well, contented in my marriage. And yet there was a missing part that I talked about almost like a hole in my heart. And actually, there's something that was missing about me that I had lost hold of. And when I began to recapture that, things got better. Now, you, I think, had a similar experience that you started to listen to some younger parts of yourself again?
Yes, it got so bad. I felt that half of me was full and the other half of me was empty. And the emptiness really bothered me. And I didn't like it, but I did not know how to deal with it. So my doctor sent me to a therapist who advised me to read a book that dealt with your inner child. And the exercises inside the book were basically that you talk to what's inside you. Well, I just went to the mirror and looked into the mirror and said, okay, Caldwell, what's going on? What's the problem? Let's see if we can figure out what we need to do. And it was as if a little voice from inside said, well, it's about time you asked. What were you waiting for?
Wow.
And that kind of shook me up, but I stuck it out. And she said, I'm always here. I've been asleep for a long time. You've been playing at being an adult and hiding behind being an adult. And it's time you start listening to me because I got some of the answers you need now.
Yes, and for example, what were one or two of the answers that she knew all along?
Well, first of all, she said, calm down. And when things are, when something happens with your son, it's not a major tragedy. Save your strength for something that's really terribly wrong, like he smashes the car into a house or somebody points a gun at him. She says, that you can get excited about and start jumping up and down and giving him the third degree. But this other stuff, don't you remember when you were a kid? What happened? Do you want to do that to Ben? And I calmed down considerably.
Wow.
And my son noticed the difference immediately.
And I'm sure he liked it.
He liked the new me, because when if something happened, like he dropped a glass or he came in late, he forgot to call or he made a mistake, I didn't jump all over him. I said, okay, well, what did you do? Let's talk about it quietly. And I would actually stuff a piece of fruit in my mouth to keep quiet long
wow.
enough to hear what he was telling me.
That's such a good idea. By eating a little bit of natural sugar, you didn't get a terrible high like throwing in our mouths a whole Hershey, I shouldn't say the brand name, but a giant bar of chocolate or something. But on the other hand, you got a little bit of a sugar fix, which helped your mood stay elevated. That was brilliant.
Well, it was by accident. It also helped him because instead of immediately accusing him or making him feel worse about the situation, because my mouth was full of food and I was taught never to talk with your mouth full, he had a chance or an opportunity to say, well, this is what happened. And he stopped looking like I was ready going to verbally start beating him up. And that was a good thing. And then the other thing that happened to me was I remembered when I was a kid that my parents trusted me to make the right choice, whether it was right or wrong, that they were there if I fell on my face and I couldn't pick myself up, they would help pick me up. But they let me make my own choices and grapple with whatever came along afterwards. And I started letting him do that around 14, 15, and it made a big difference. I mean, he was learning how to make decisions, which he needed to learn how to do. But he had a parent who was not hovering over him and pointing out,
right.
Well, that's wrong, you should have done this. I stepped back and allowed him the opportunity to try and straighten out whatever mess he got into. And if he needed me, he could just pick up the phone. He could bring the person over and say, this is my mom.
So
but
may I
I didn't get in there. But, you know, I didn't interfere with his life.
So I'd like to just bring this back to the Enchant itself, the seven gateways to happiness, because you're bringing up two very profound issues around my gateways to happiness that are so relevant. And one is that you listen to your own inner child. For some people, they might prefer to call it their inner voice as they get to know themselves better. But you learned, you went inside, you learned about your own narrative, really of your own life from childhood up, and the wisdom and the truth that existed in the earlier part of that narrative. And I bet anything that the glass, well, you said the glass was half full anyway, but I bet the side where the glass was half empty improved somewhat.
Yes. I became I became happier within me. It was like a great calm came over me.
Right.
And I knew that whatever happened, it would happen whether I was there or not, and that it was not my job to always make things come out happily ever after for him, that he would have to face whatever it was, and he would have to face it by himself.
You know, maybe he was going to have a right to have his own life.
Yes.
Interesting.
I was a single parent, and it made things a little more difficult because married couples would not talk to me about raising kids because they were afraid. The women were afraid I was going to take their husband. I don't know why. I don't want used merchandise. But that was their hang-up. So a lot of the stuff I did with my son was based on listening to my inner child say, remember when you were this old? Remember what happened? Do you remember how your parents handled it? So it was almost as if my inner child was bringing me back to my childhood, but it was more of an objective. Everything was in third person. So it did not get personal. And that was a big deal to me. It made me face some of the things I did, but it didn't make me emotionally part. So there was no baggage.
Or punishment.
Associated with it.
Yep.
Yes.
So you really were using the techniques that I teach, particularly in the second Gateway to Happiness, where I encourage women to develop a narrative to their lives and to look for their potential. And, of course, your potential really was that you had innate wisdom. It was there as a child. It was there to help you. It hadn't been thrown away. And you had a delicious part of you that really wanted more pleasure out of life and more fun and more integrity. And on top of it, you were giving the gift literally of life to someone else, because when we move out of the way enough that someone else can develop, we're returning their soul to them. You know, it's terrible. You know, even that feeling like if you're typing or on the computer and someone's hovering over your shoulder, I know that drives me crazy.
Yes.
It interrupts my pacing immediately because I feel someone else is sort of going to point something out and I'll lose my train of thought, whatever it is. Well, it's much worse when we're helping a child to develop. We can get in their way constantly when they're learning to tie a shoe, when they're going for their first job, you know.
Exactly. It's almost
like
you know better, so you can do it faster. But you have to fight that impulse. And the inner child in you says, now, don't do that. That will make me unhappy. And if that makes me unhappy, I get mad. And you know what happens to me when I get mad? I throw a tantrum. And when I throw a tantrum, you get very, very unhappy, don't you? So I don't want to go through all that.
Yes, and that's a good point. And as I got to know the inner parts of me between 35 and 50, I would say that the child in me, the girl who ultimately inspired me for my book, The Truth, I'm 10, I'm Smart, and I Know Everything, but then stepped aside and let a fictional girl emerge who was more of a universal composite of girlhood than any one person can be. But when I was initially in touch with this part of me, one of the things I recognized is that she had tremendous optimism and hope and vitality and really saw her talents in very fun ways that I was blocking out as an adult. For example, she wasn't afraid if she's going to be in a play. She wasn't afraid to memorize a poem. She wasn't afraid to learn how to play an instrument. She wasn't afraid to do a sport. She wasn't afraid to travel. Whatever it was, there was hope and enthusiasm around it. But that she was getting, I'm talking in metaphors. I mean, it's not exactly like she, but
I understand you because
you know,
my inner child has allowed me to dare and to go where 15, 20 years ago I would not have thought of going at all. My husband says to me, all your talents now are coming out. And it had to wait this long before it was fully available to you. And he says, you're just blossoming. He says, look at this. You've done a radio station, and you have a big firm running after you. You have publishing companies who want to do deals with you. You're writing plays and getting recognition. You're writing books and getting recognition. He says, you're known all the internet. He said, you would not have dared done this 10, 15, 20 years ago.
Yes.
And, well, it's because of my inner child.
Right. Well, my inner child was getting annoyed with me, though, because here I was, you know, sitting stiffly in a therapeutic setting with my clients, giving very good treatment. That wasn't the issue. But where was I, you know, getting some of the fun and vitality and going to the world that I deserved with my particular talents? And I had to work many, many years to, you know, really, really break out of some of the mold that goes with a particular profession. And I remember when, years ago, when before I was, well, I guess I was about 35, 36, we visited one of my husband's cousins, and my husband's also a psychologist, but he's always had sort of his own style, and we're not, we don't, you know, we're not talking about the male development at this point, but I don't think that the shift between 35 and 50 is quite the same as for a female. And she was saying that my husband seemed sort of so at ease, and he knew, he was who he was, and that was it. And she said, but you're so, like, formal, and everything you say is so clear and thought out, and you're so exacting with your words. And I kind of later realized that she was really saying I was somewhat of a pompous you-know-what, you know, that she was trying to get to know and like. And I think that I was so concerned with the depth of psychological wisdom I had absorbed and trained and whatever. And that can almost become like living in a cave, that the person has to, again, be rebirthed in an authenticity that goes with that particular person. And I'm a bit of a clown and a bit, you know, a very creative, and give me a new way of doing something. Let's just try it, and, you know, let's have fun, and let's put on costumes and whatever. Let's find a new way in, you know, out of the box kind of thing. So a lot of things had to happen, and I think taking it back to women between 35 and 50, I would just encourage women to have the confidence to do some of the playful work that Lillian Caldwell, you and I are talking about today.
Well, it makes the first thing that a lady woman has to recognize and understand is, number one, your inner child, your inner voice demands honesty 100%. You cannot hide, and you cannot distort, and you cannot lie. You have got to tell the truth, because that's the way kids are. They tell the truth. They're blunt, and you never know what's going to come out of their mouths. So you have to be careful what you're saying to your inner voice or your inner child. That's number one. And number two, you have to be open, receptive to what comes along. And if you're cringing, then step back, let it alone for a while, and then go back to it. But if you watch kids, especially children in elementary school, the younger ones, not the ones who are 9, 10, or 11, but the ones who are 4, 5, 6, they are really happy. They go about their business. They play. And if parents don't interfere or other adults don't interfere, they get along very well together. They solve their own little problems, but they, on the whole, I mean, there's some tears and there's some sand and all that, but basically they go back to what they were doing before the flare-up.
I think that brings up a very good point. I just want to check, did Martha Trowbridge ever join us today? Okay. So what I wanted to say was, and she'll be back, we'll discuss this age range again with Martha included. She had even done research for today, but her cat is delivering kittens, and I think that that cat needs her more than we do.
Absolutely. That's so cool.
So anyway, I was going to say that one of the things to help women between 35 and 50 get in touch with is to start to give themselves permission to have a lot more fun again. And, you know, as you said and I've said, we get so worn out those years. Babies, jobs, husbands or divorce, you know, or whatever it is, even a gay relationship, all the ups and downs of relating, whatever's going on, still trying to find a husband, first house, apartment, monies, car insurance, we're exhausted. And I think that women need to intentionally give themselves permission to get to that playground you were talking about. And for women, often it's girlfriends. And going away with girlfriends, be it away to a local diner for 2 or 3 hours to chat your heads off, or going away to an expensive spa, the whole spectrum. But getting away and playing again.
I think it's important, you know, if you look at men and how they bond, they go down to the bar, they go hiking, fishing, canoeing, they meet and go to tennis matches or football games, and nobody thinks twice about it because that's a natural thing for men to do. But when women start doing it, it's like they get the third degree from everybody involved that you should go off with a girlfriend or you should disappear and leave them at home with the kids, or if you're just married and no kids, how dare you go somewhere else. One of the things that my inner child liked very much about my parents was that the fact that some years they went to different places when they were on vacation. They did not always go on vacation together. The way they put it was sometimes we need to get away from each other.
Mm-hmm.
We need to get in touch with ourselves. We need to reconnect with ourselves. And we can't do it if we're together. So your mom goes up to Maine and she relaxes up there. And I do my thing at home, which is more than a vacation for me. And we regroup in 2 or 3 weeks. And we're just better people for it. And I noted that as a child. And I'm thinking, as an adult, you know, I never did do that. And now I'm doing it a little bit more. I'm finding that my husband doesn't mind. He thinks it's good for me. So, but this is something that my inner child took notes on.
Yes. Well, my parents never did that. And there was great tension around vacations because my father was so, what would be called today, a workaholic. We didn't perceive him that way. We perceived him as a great educator who just had to do his job as a dean and then a superintendent of schools. But in fact, our vacations would be delayed a day or two with the last emergencies of the school system or whatever, and they usually were somewhat frustratingly slow getaways and then a sort of glorious 4 or 5 days when we finally really got somewhere on a vacation as a family. So I think my examples were a little mixed up, and but that's okay. One of the things that I've realized is that I need vacations very, very much, and that I think I would say my inner girl would say, you know, just correct. Your parents did the best they could living a generation prior, and correct. And that's what I've been doing. And I've been to Europe, and I've done, you know, many, many things that for them were just beyond even their dreams. But the girlfriend thing, I want to just, you know, reinforce that that's really become so much more popular. I went away with my girlfriends a few times in my 40s, and we kind of struggled with it. How much money should we spend? Should we leave our kids, not leave our kids? Should we meet at one of our houses? So, you know, one woman is off the hook. She's technically at home. And we ended up meeting in a couple of local cities. Once we went to Maine and flew. You know, we did a few things. But nowadays, Lillian, and I don't know if you're aware of it, there are all these camps for women. There are magazines, like I think there's a magazine called Girlfriends that lists spas and getaways and the best hotels that treat women decently when you go you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 together. And hey, go for it. It's out there. It's become part of our culture. And I would just say we should all do it. Let's just keep doing it.
I really agree with you. I remember when I was in my 30s and I went out to a New Year's Eve party with another lady. The looks we got, the indifference in how the behavior of the waiter because we didn't order alcohol, and now that doesn't happen. Or if it does happen, it is corrected very, very quickly. And it's because I believe that society has last understood that it's the woman who is going to be left holding the money bag, that husband, man, boyfriend, they pass away. But it's the woman who outstays them all.
And caretakes.
And caretaker, exactly. We have the strength, dedication, the passion to do this.
That's right. So women, as we sum up and stop for today, women between 35 and 50, you're just at the beginnings of your most glorious days. And if you are blessed with reasonably good health, even fair health in today's culture, even poor health because of the medicine miracles we have, you're going to have ahead of you so many years to expand your more and more, your authentic self, your experience of happiness and well-being, and probably have 2 or 3 more advocations or even careers if that's what you wish. And so we're just going to go on with this. We'll talk from the ages of 50 to about 65-ish next time, and or we will still be on this time with Martha's insight. This is a big area, these 15 years, but we'll keep going. We'll get up to senior citizens, and it's all going to lead to more happiness for women only. So let me just remind you all that you can get my free paper on happiness for women only. Just download it by going to the front page of my website, enchantedself.com, enchantedself.com, one word. And please buy my new book, The Truth. I'm 10, I'm smart, and I know everything. You'll love it. And it is a fictionalized book of a girl of 10 to 11 talking about all the things we're talking about today. And she, like Lillian, knows the truth. And I'll say goodbye till next time and let Lillian sign off.
Thank you, Barbara. You have just listened to Dr. Barbara Becker-Holstein talking about her book, The Truth, I'm 10 and Smart, and I Know Everything. And if you want to hear this all over again, please go over to http://internetvoicesradio.com. The next program coming up would be Monica Coleman and Let's Talk Waterways. PIVTR is the internet home for anyone seeking quality information and entertainment, as well as answers to many of the multiple concerns that the average person wants to know. At PIVTR, we not only provide experts passionate about their work, we offer you valuable content and solutions. PIVTR is also dedicated to helping published mid-list and beginning writers, unknown authors, small businesses, and entrepreneurs to further market themselves, their services, books, and products to the media. And before we go, let me leave you with this little thought from Glenda Jackson. If I'm too strong for some people, that's their problem. Have a great day. See you tomorrow. Bye.